Just as Chrissy mentioned earlier, don't forget our men's on Friday night, and we also have the ladies on Friday. I think if Nikki's getting the baby shower, maybe I need men's swim or something. I need something. I don't want a voucher for Kings, though. There's too many toys there. I'll take a voucher for Apple. That would do. Sorry. But just blessed to have everybody. Blessed to see. If you've never been before, then you're welcome. We are just here to encourage you and to remind you of all the good things that God has in store for us. Can we just pray just to settle our hearts just for the word this morning? Lord, I thank you today that you're here. And Lord, we just want to honor you as well as honor everybody that's here. But most importantly, we want to honor our most important guest, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just thank you this morning that you are here to do great things. And I pray, Lord, whatever we're facing, whatever trials we're coming up against, Lord, in these next few moments, Lord, would you help to remove any distress? So this morning, church, I want to talk about never the same. We went to Latvia during the summer. We came home. We said, hey, we never want to be the same again. And I was thinking about this week, and the Lord just really put it in my heart. And I was thinking about the story of Peter in prison, and we're going to look at it later on. But if you remember the story, Peter was put inside prison. He's on death row, so to speak, and yet he just had this incredible peace. He just didn't seem to get annoyed at all, and we're going to look later at what happened to Peter. But over this last few weeks, we've been thinking about Peter. We've been looking at the disciples, and we've been looking how they've been steadily been transformed by the power and the grace of Jesus as they followed after him every single day. In that space of 3 years, their lives were never quite the same again. He just kept changing their hearts. He kept changing their minds. And even when he left, they just kept going. They kept going forward. And this morning for us as a church, what I believe the Lord wants to put into our hearts and what he wants to just put into our souls is that he has destined us to never be the same again. But maybe what we've done is we said, look, I've got saved, so that's me. I've got saved, and so that's me. And we don't maybe intentionally do that, or we don't really want to do that, but sometimes that's what happens. And then we get to this place of where I'm saved, and I know God's promises, and I know God's benefits, but sometimes I wonder if I'm really living in them, or where are they for me? And sometimes we look at other people, and we say, oh, it seems like their lives are just doing more or going more than my life. What about me, Lord? And I want to encourage us this morning that we are to never be the same each and every day. That what God has planned for us is that every single day we would wake up with goodness and mercy chasing us down. This is what Psalms tells us. That goodness and mercy is following me daily, every single day. His goodness, his promises, his mercies, they are new every morning. And so every single day, God's intention for us is that we would get up and never be the same again. And so yesterday is different from today. But the problem, what happens to us if we're not careful, is that our today just looks like yesterday. And then the next day becomes like the day before that, and we just keep going around in these circles. We think to ourselves, God, where's this exciting adventure? Where's the things that you've planned for us? And maybe we wait all year, and we get to things like I Heart Armagh, or we have an event that we're doing, or we're sharing our testimony, and then we're going for it. And then before we know it, it seems like we're back to square one again, and we're like, oh, but God, I want more. And I want to encourage us this morning that God never intended us to live from moment to moment. He intended us to live in his presence daily, moment by moment in his presence. That the highs and lows are less, and it's more of a constant. I'm just soaring on wings like eagles. I'm just with the Lord, and I'm walking with him through the highs and lows. Because we know this morning that there are many highs and lows that we're going to face. There are many battles we're going to face. We're praying against cancer this morning. That is real people with a life-threatening disease that wants to take them out. There are families surrounding them, and they can be at their wits' end at times. There's times when you go through that kind of pain and those kind of obstacles, and you wake up some days, you're like, God, I don't even know what to do. And yet, our God says that you can come to me no matter what way you're feeling. You can come to me no matter what way you're feeling. You can pour out your heart, but the key is this, keep engaging with God. Keep knowing that God wants to change us every single day, that he wants to continue to move in our hearts every single day, in spite of what we go through. In fact, because of what we go through, that is why he wants to change us. And so this morning, I want to put in our hearts this idea of never being the same again, but not from just a moment. It's something that happens over and over and over again, each and every day. Here's God's heart. This is what it says in Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so for us, there you can see it. We get saved. This is speaking about believers. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It speaks about an ongoing transformation. It speaks about how God has a plan for our lives. He has roles for us. He has purposes for us. But we know very often when you go to a new role or you go to a new purpose, you don't quite fit. And you wonder, is this the right thing for me, God? Is this where I'm supposed to be? I mean, we heard it. Sometimes you come to church and you think, is this the right place for me? But God says if we will allow him to transform us, if we will allow him to work in our lives, in other words, if we'll allow change to happen, hey, the thing about change is we love it in other people. We just don't like it in ourselves. It's tough. It's tough. It can bring tests. It mentioned it right there, that by testing you may discern. We love the idea of discerning things. We just don't like the idea of testing. But when we have a good God who is with us, he will walk with us through that. See, this is the difference between God and anybody else, or Jesus and everybody else. Somebody else might say, hey, go and do this and learn your lessons through it. Jesus says, go and do that and I'll walk with you through it. Go and do this and I will be your strength. I will be your guide. I'll actually be the one inside you working all things around for you because I'm that kind of God. I live inside your heart. And see, for us this morning, for us, our hearts this morning, God wants to grab our attention afresh and say this, I don't want you to just keep floating through life. I want you to know that every day is full of possibilities, that every day I have plans, I've got changes, I've got things that I want to make and mold inside of you to transform you into the person I've always intended. See, we always talk about it, the battle is always in the mind, or a lot of times the battle is in the mind, and it's true. Because our thoughts can just keep determine the things that we do. And our thoughts can keep holding us back. We get saved. Sometimes we keep thinking the old things. That's why God wants to transform us. Even when we have been saved a long time, we think, well, this is me or that's me or this is just the way I am or this is the way I go. And God says this morning, I want to stop you from saying the things I can't and I don't and I won't or I never do. And I want to show you that through me you can do all things. Now, they're testy. They're hard. They sometimes poke at us. There's things that we maybe don't like so much. But trust me on this. If we will follow after God and we will allow him to continuously change us, we will be happier on the other side. Because change is one of those things. At the moment, we don't really like it so much, but we like the benefits. Anybody ever said, I'd love to change my car? We love the idea of that. Now, we don't like the bit about paying the money, but when we get the car, hopefully we realize, wow, this was all worth it. This was all worth it. And it's exactly the same when it comes to our faith. When we ask the Lord for change, then we've got to expect a wee bit of cost in return. And as we invest into him, he transforms our heart and he transforms our lives. And this is God's heart for us this morning, that we just keep moving, that we just keep going forward, that we don't get stuck in reverse or stuck in quicksand or whatever we can get stuck in, but that we say every day, God, what are the things that you've got for me? What are the things that you want to help me do? How do you want to move through my life? Here was a phrase that God put in my heart this week. I was just praying, saying this, close to the action, but missing the point. Ever been really close to the action, but you don't seem to get what everybody else is getting? I mean, I've seen it before where you're on teams or you're doing stuff together and everybody else is buzzing and everybody else is excited and then we win and it's like a team win and then you turn around to somebody and they're like, yeah, it's okay. It's like they just don't get it. And you think to yourself, what is going on? Or it's like years ago, sometimes talk about my mom, but years ago, I got excited about things. I still get excited about things. Ask Nikki. And I'd tell Nikki these things as well. Maybe it's a girl thing. But I would get excited about things, and then I would tell them about them, and they would go, oh, that's great. That's great. And I'd be ready to dance around the place. I'd be ready to do laps of the house. I don't even like running, but I'd be ready to go because I'm excited. And the difference is this, is that the things that we invest in, when the win comes, we can receive the reward. When we don't invest in things, when we don't invest fully into the things that are going on, even if you're on the same team, even if you're part of the process, when the big win comes, it's like it feels a bit flat for you. It feels like, I don't know what it is. I don't feel like I'm getting what everybody else is getting. And here's the thing about God. God says this, I'm so much better than a sports team. I'm so much better than a work team. I'm so much better than anything else out there. I'm worth the investment. And if you invest in the kingdom of God, watch how in return God's going to transform you. And when the transforming settles and things start to work the different ways that you expect them to work or how God expects them to work in your lives, when the reward comes, it's like, yes, we can truly be on board with it. We can truly receive from it. We can truly thank the Lord for it. And the Lord is here this morning and says, I have reward for your life. But the way the kingdom of God works is, as we invest, as we step into the cost, God's about rewarding. God's about giving back. And so I'm here this morning to tell you that God wants to work in your lives and God wants to make change in our lives, but we do have a role to play. It says, do not be conformed. That almost puts responsibility on us. Do not be. Do not be conformed with this. Do not be conformed with that. It says this, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There's a part that we have to play in this whole process. And God is saying this morning, just like in other words, in other things that we dedicate in our lives, dedicate our lives to the kingdom of God and watch how, even though there's cost, even though there's times where it's tough, even when you're the only one, ever been doing something and you're the only one, and you think to yourself, God, why am I doing this? Or maybe you're preparing behind the scenes and you're getting ready to do something, like a testimony, and it's going tough and it's going hard, and you think, oh, God, I don't even know if I really want to do this. And yet when you go to do it, Stuart did his on Monday night, when you go to do it, you come back buzzing. Because you know what you've done is you put in cost, you put in time, and God has rewarded you at the end of it. And there may be a few slips, maybe a few hiccups, but you know you've invested in something worthwhile. You know you've invested in the kingdom of God, and the reward from it is absolutely amazing. And God says this morning, how's it been the last few while in terms of reward? How's it been the last few while, even when you're going through the trials, even when you're going through the storms, God says, keep going. Keep going, keep trusting, keep believing, because there will be reward that is coming. There will be benefit that is coming. And we have this incredible promise that Jesus tells us about again and again and again in the New Testament, that even if you don't get all the reward that you wanted here, even if you don't get all the benefits that you hope for here, there is reward that is coming in heaven like you won't believe. And you will have eternity to enjoy that. You will have eternity to spend time with that or to be blessed with that or whatever way you're going to receive that. But God is a good God, and he's decided to reward as we would go for it. I mean, one of the best examples that we've seen recently was just over the last couple of years, that as we would give to the building projects, if you've been here in the 45,000, then you know what it was. You maybe took some money from your account, and you give it to us. And sometimes you give to God, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I really want to give God, but I'm going to give anyway. But then at the end, what you started to see was this. It was like, wow, I was a part of this thing. I was able to be a part of this thing. I was able to sow into this, and look how God has blessed us. And it becomes this big team win. It becomes this big thing that we get to be a part of. And the reward becomes a big blessing for all of us, and the joy just starts to flow. I remember next door when we started to raise the $175,000. We're like, wow, God, that's such a big thing. Can we ever get there? And when you put it on yourself just alone, you think, wow, we can never do it. I've never seen that kind of money. We'll never get there. And then little by little, people started to give. And some people started to give, and it just started to flow. And the joy started to flow. And you know what started to happen? People were like, we're going to get there. We're going to make it. We're going to do this thing. And we started to realize, you know what? Maybe this is what God always intended, that we would live on the edge of our seat, wondering, I've given away all my money for this week, but I don't care. I've given it to God. I wonder what God's going to do next. And this is what the Lord has intended for our lives, is that we would live dependent on him, not dependent on our bank accounts, not dependent on anybody else, not dependent on our job. And all of those things are blessings, but they're not dependables. Jesus is the only one that we're supposed to depend on. And church, this morning, we need to realize this, because if we don't, when those other things get moved, we will start to question our faith. When those other things get shaken, we will start to wonder, is God even for me? Because we've made other things that are blessings into dependables. And Jesus says this morning, I am the only one that you need to trust. And so church, this morning, I want to encourage your heart. What are we trusting? What are we putting our hope into? Let it be nothing else other than Jesus. Everything else is a blessing from him, but it's not a dependable. All those other things can shift. All those other things can change. The Lord says this morning, we keep investing in the kingdom things, and we will get rewards. And I wrote this down. Watch out for the trap of free options. I mean, we love it when we get free things, but they usually don't turn out to be exactly what we hope for. They don't usually turn out to be what we plan for. Usually the best things is when we invest. We see if we invest, there's a cost, incredible reward. Watch out for free things and the trap of that, because sometimes they can flatter, but they can deceive. You know, they can be not quite what we expected. The last few while we've been fasting. Man, it's tough to fast. Anybody struggling with fasting, it is not the easiest thing. But our heart is this, is that we would understand the truth of this verse, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm like, Lord, you need to be something like that, because it's tough these days. But the Lord says, if we will get into the word and we will feast on him, then he will richly reward us. And we've been seeing it. I mean, we're not even speaking some of them out yet because it's just early days, but we're seeing blessing upon blessing upon blessing over the church and in different people's lives, and we'll speak them all out at the end of the 21 days. We'll save it all up, but God is blessing. Even at partway through the fast, God is blessing. And so what about us this morning? God is trying to capture our hearts and pull us closer so we have this intimacy with him. You see, here's the thing. You can be so close to the action, but you can still miss the point. Some of the disciples were closer to Jesus than others. Some of them got more from Jesus than others did. But here's a scary thought. Judas was part of the disciples as well. Listen to this. He walked with God. He walked with Jesus. And by the end of it, unchanged. Unbelievable. By the end of it, he walks with Jesus for years. And by the end of it, he turns his back at him. That is incredible, but it's a great warning for all of us this morning, is that we can be close to the action, but don't miss the point. Be in the action. Be in the middle of the action. Be close to God. Be following after God. Be taking part. Make sure you're investing, because when you're investing, then you know that's where your treasure is. And where your treasure is, there's your heart. And that's what the Word tells us. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Where is our treasure this morning? Keep investing in God. And as we walk with him, we'll never miss. We'll be in the middle of the action, and we'll be part of the action, and we'll reap. And when the reward comes, when we go through the tough times, he'll be with us. No matter what we face, he will be there. And the Lord says this morning, make sure you're in the action and not missing the point, because Jesus is the point of our message, and Jesus is about everything that we do. I want to read our verses this morning from Acts chapter 12. We mentioned it right back at the beginning. It was quite small, but we'll read it together. This is Acts chapter 12. It's Peter. He's been locked in prison. Just the backdrop to this is that the church is under incredible persecution at the moment. Can I just add a point on this? We think sometimes when the church starts to get persecuted and when it looks like maybe the devil's starting to win, that, oh my goodness, Jesus is in fear. Here's what always happens. Every single time the church gets persecuted, the gospel just gets even greater. Every single time. So in actual fact, the early Christians would nearly pray that the persecution wouldn't lift, because it was just driving them to prayer like you wouldn't believe. They were seeing the gospel spread like you could not believe, because Jesus will never be defeated. And anytime the enemy thinks that he's winning, he just explodes all the more. In fact, if you've ever read some of the books from our friends in China, our brothers and sisters in China, they're actually praying for strength in the midst of persecution. They don't pray for it to lift, because they recognize it's causing them to draw close to Jesus like in no other way. They recognize that kind of persecution, the gospel's just flourishing in incredible ways. Now, we're not believing for persecution, but we recognize this, that the church is not defeated in persecution. In fact, the Christians just rise all the more. And so in the midst of persecution, here's the backdrop. In the midst of heavy persecution, Peter is thrown into prison. He's on death row. His friend James has just been killed a few days before. And this is the story of Peter. And I want us to look at this morning, because he's a guy who was forever changed by Jesus. He was forever being changed by Jesus. And he was never the same again. Here's what it says. And when Herod was about to bring him out, this is speaking about Peter, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and it struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off in his hands, and then the angel said to him, "Get up, gird yourself, tie on your sandals." So he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." And then in verse 9, so when he had went out and followed him and did not know that what was being done was an angel was real, but he thought it was just a vision. But when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And then they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departs from him. Then verse 11, when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent this angel, and that he has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." What an incredible set of verses that the Lord wants to encourage our hearts with this morning. Number one, angels are real. Angels work for the kingdom of God, and they will work on our behalf, and sometimes we don't even know that they're there. But at this point in time, angels came to release, or an angel came to release Peter from prison. You see, God is never caught out. God is never stuck. He always has a plan. He always has a way out. And what I want us to see this morning is just a few different points of what has happened happened in Peter's life from where he began. Does anybody remember the person that Peter was at the beginning? Probably worse than you. Probably worse than you. Didn't even know the Bible. Didn't even know the Bible existed. Didn't even have a clue who this Jesus was. We're ahead of him in all of those things. Didn't even know how to pray. Didn't know what to do. Was always getting in the way. Was cutting people's ears off. Was trying to do the right thing, but it usually was the wrong thing. Peter had a lot to grow. But here's the thing about Peter. Quietly, consistently, he was moving. He was growing. He just kept saying, right, Jesus, I'm going to come. Walk on water? Yes, ask me to come. I'm going to go. Don't care if I sink. I'm going to get back up again. I'm going to keep following after you. Peter understood one thing. Jesus is far better than me, but if I keep following after him, he's going to keep transforming me. And this morning, Jesus is far better than any of us. Jesus is far greater than all of us, and we'll never, ever be close to him. But guess what he said? You're going to do greater things than me. And so to do that, we've got to follow after him. And if you're going to follow after him, that means you're going to look like him. And if you're going to look like him, then you're going to do the things like him. And so maybe sometimes we've got to look at the word and just make it real simple for ourselves and say, look, what did Jesus do? I wonder, could I do that today? Because Jesus said to me, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to do things similar to his. In fact, I'm going to do things even greater than him. Not that I'm going to be better than him, but he's going to empower me. He's going to show me. He's going to guide me. And this morning, church, we need to realize that just like Peter, we have a lot to grow. That's not a discouragement. That should be an encouragement. Because our God wants to grow us. He wants to transform our lives. And each and every day, Peter was like, I wonder what Jesus is going to do in my life today. We don't know that for certain, but we can see the evidence. So he must have been. Because he's just growing and growing and growing. And now we find him stuck in a prison. And I want to see a few things this morning that I hope is going to blow your mind, because it blew me away. Number one, Jesus is your peace. Here's what I love about this story. In the midst of prison, in the midst of death row, knowing that the next day he's going to get, I don't know, his head chopped off. Eventually he got crucified upside down. In the midst of all of that mess, don't worry about the rain. The rain is a blessing from God. But in the midst of that mess, can you see what's happening? Peter is sleeping. I'm like, what? How could you be sleeping when you know you're in prison? Two guards beside you, two lovely guys, I'm sure. Handcuffed to you. You're on death row. You know it's tomorrow. Your friend's just been killed a few days before. How on earth could you be sleeping? This is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I started to say, God, what is going on? How could Peter be sleeping? How could he be sleeping? But let's remember back where he learned this lesson. When the storm rose, when the boat was looking like it was going to sink, where was Jesus? Sleeping at the bottom of the boat. He wakes him up. They say, Master, what are we going to do? This boat is going to sink. And he's like, what? Have you not got it yet? I control the wind and the waves. Have you not got it yet? Your peace is not a feeling or an emotion or something that can be taken from you. Your peace is in me. If I am with you, how can you ever lose your peace? Now, I'm sitting there thinking, whoa, Lord, this is good stuff, but I need to grow a lot. Because, I mean, it only takes for the wrong phone call or the wrong email or the wrong letter, and I'm like, I feel like I'm losing my peace. I feel like, oh, man, I can't even sleep. Just a few nights ago, I'm thinking about all sorts of things, and I'm like, Lord, Peter is on death row, about to get imminently executed, and he's sleeping between two prisoners. Lord, I've got a lot to grow. But here is the thing that the Lord wants to remind us about this morning, is that if you want to grow, if you ask him, if you follow Jesus, if you present your life like a living sacrifice, Romans 12:2 is what we read, but 12:1 tells us, present our bodies like a living sacrifice. If we will do that, God will grow us. And every day, Peter just kept presenting his body, saying, Lord, I know I'm a bit of a mess. I know I'm putting my feet in it all the time. I know I'm saying the wrong things. Maybe that's a bit like you. But every day, I'm going to give you it. Lord, you just tell me what you want me to do. You just tell me where you want me to go. And he just kept allowing the Lord to change him. And now he's in a prison. Wow. And I know that he's seen Jesus come back from the dead. I know he's seen the nail prints in his hand. I know he's seen all of those things. But I tell you what, it needs something to happen on the inside for you to have lasting change. I can see all the exterior things and I can go, wow, that's amazing. Remember what we said? We can be in the winning team and we can win the Champions League or win whatever you want to win. But if you haven't fully invested in the process, then you're a bystander even in the midst of the team. But what's happened, Peter is, unlike Judas, he invested fully into Jesus. And now he's still alive, Judas is dead, and he's living in the promises of God. And he is a transformed man. And I believe this morning, this is what the Lord wants for each and every one of us. That we will stand, that we will live, that we will live out the promises of God, and we will realize that Jesus is our peace. Can't get over it. He's in the middle of the prison. Death is imminent, and yet he is sleeping. And you know what the laugh of the whole situation is? He's sleeping that good that when even the angel comes, he doesn't even fully wake up. He thinks it's a vision. He just thinks it's a dream. He's in such a deep sleep that even when the angel just was rapping him on the side, it makes no odds. He's like, oh, it's all good. It's all good. He thinks it's a vision. He thinks it's a vision. Sometimes late at night, that's what I do. If I have to go and get a drink, I try to keep my eyes half closed because I don't want to fully wake up. And I want to believe that I can find all the way to the fridge or the cupboard. And I'm going to get a drink and going to try to get back into bed before I fully wake up. Because I don't want to fully wake up. I want to stay in that nice dream state. I want to stay in that nice sleep state. And I'm like, wow. Peter is at home, is in prison as if he's at home in his waterbed or whatever he had, and he's got no cares in the world because he knows Jesus is my peace. And church, this morning, if we could get this, if we could allow the Lord to change us, we would never be the same again. It wouldn't matter if you're in the storm in a boat that's sinking. It wouldn't matter. You're just like, this Jesus, he can do anything. He's my peace. He's for me. He'll never leave me. He's always there for me. He's always there for me. What did Peter learn? Peter learned that this Jesus can do anything. He asked me to walk in water one day, and he invited me out, and I did it. And what are the things that the Lord has done in your life that he just wants to continuously remind you about? I am your peace. Don't invest your peace in anything else. It will quake. It will shake. It will let you down. But I will not. And in the midst of prison, on death row, death tomorrow, Peter's sleeping like a baby because he knows who he is in Christ. He knows that Jesus is with him. He knows that Jesus is peace. Number one, Jesus is my peace. I'm going to do the last two quick because that was the most important one. But I want us to see this. Peter realizes that Jesus will never fail him. Peter realizes that Jesus will never fail him. And so in the midst of the prison, we didn't read it earlier, but there was four squadrons with four men in each one. I know four fours make 16. There's 16 soldiers. They're all around them. It looks like there's no way out. But it's a bit like the feeding the 5,000. It looked like there was no way out. It's a bit like feeding the 4,000. It looked like there was no way out. But Peter goes to sleep knowing full well Jesus is going to do something. God is going to do something because I've seen him always do these things. I've seen this always. You know what? Maybe Peter went to bed excited that night because he was wondering how God's going to get me out of this one. Imagine if that was our response. I wonder how God's going to get me out of this. Can't wait to see what's going to happen next. You see, when we are living close to God and we're following after God, then that's our emotion. That's how we're feeling. Can't wait to see what's going to happen next. Whenever we're far from God, we're like, oh my goodness, Lord, this, and that. But God says, trust me, I am with you. And even when you don't sense me, even when you don't feel me, you know I am with you. Hold firm. I've lived life long enough to know at times it's not that easy. And you just have to claw on with your fingernails. You are just holding with dear might. And that's why, final point, we're going to say this. I don't think Peter would have got out of that prison without a church praying. I don't think he would have done. It needed the church behind him. It needed the church praying. It says this in verse 5. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The church was praying. Here's the thing about praying, guys. We can only pray what we know. This is what I love about Peter. Peter, the church must have knew Peter, otherwise they wouldn't have been praying. Peter must have knew the church, otherwise they wouldn't have been praying. I know sometimes we want to go off and be lone wolf, or sometimes we want to go off and we don't want to tell anybody, but I encourage you, we're meant to be a body. We can't be a body on our own. It just doesn't work. It's just like a tiny wee finger trying to do something on their own. It's just not going to work. You need to be together. And when the church prayed constant prayer, here's the thing. Peter was in prison for a few days. The church just kept praying. They just kept believing. They just kept believing, kept praying. And even, we're not having time to go into fully, but even it's so bad that when Peter gets released from prison by the angel, he's knocking on the door. They're so fervent in prayer, they don't even remember to open the door fully. And so Peter's still stuck outside the building. And they're like, get back out quick and let him in. He's the one that we're praying for. See, church, whenever we get into the presence of God and we start to pray and we're in that constant prayer and we know what the pains and the things that people are going through, we just get locked in, we start praying and we start believing and we see God move in incredible ways, in incredible ways. I want to encourage you this morning, Jesus is your peace, nobody else, nothing else, no one else, no thing else. Don't put your peace in anything else. Jesus is your peace. Number two was this. is that Jesus will never fail you. They had seen work through all of the miracles. He will send an angel if he needs to. Peter had angels protecting them. Think about that this morning. Peter had angels protecting them. There are angels that are protecting us. The Holy Spirit is protecting us. God is for us. And if he is for you, then who can be against you? The church was there. Guys, can we stand? We're going to worship. I'm going to finish off with one last point. Just the guys are getting geared up. But here's the final point that I want to just leave in our hearts. Is that the reason? I wonder why Peter was in prison. Let's just think about that just for the last couple of minutes. I wonder why Peter was in prison. You see, this whole thing only worked because Peter was in prison. Because he was actually living the life that Jesus called him to do. You see, our lifestyle is going to dictate where we find ourselves. If our lifestyle is after the kingdom of God, if our lifestyle is after the things of God, then we're going to expect persecution. Then we're going to expect valley moments. Then we're going to expect storms. Then we're going to embrace storms. We're going to embrace prisons. We're going to embrace wherever we find ourselves. You see, Peter would never have seen all of this breakthrough if he hadn't been following after the things of God. He could have been at home on the sofa watching, I don't know, EastEnders. Don't ever watch EastEnders, a bad program. But he could have been watching any of that. But you know where he was? Living for the things of God, living on the edge of his seat, seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, wondering if he's going to make it half the time, wondering if he'll ever get through. But he was living for God like you wouldn't believe, fully sold out for the kingdom of God. It was life or death. And here he is in death row, and God says, I see what you're doing for me. Don't worry, I've got a plan for you. And God says this morning, I have plans for your life. I've got purposes for your life. But you're going to have to live in certain ways that are risky. You're going to have to live in a certain way where you're going to be ready for the storms, because the storms are going to come because you're a child of God. And maybe you're going through a storm and you're wondering why. Don't wonder why. Just know this. God is with you. He's bringing you through. You don't need to get consumed with the why. God knows that you're going through storms. In fact, you can expect storms. You can expect the prisons. You can expect those trials because the enemy's against you. But God is for you, and he's going to bring you through. And if it needs an angel, if it needs him releasing 10 angels or 20 angels or just getting the church praying for you, he will do all of those things. But we've got to live in a certain lifestyle that gets us in trouble for the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not advocating getting in trouble for other things, but I'm saying this, you got to live a certain lifestyle that God is going to do crazy things in your life. And before you know it, you may get in some hairy situations, but don't worry, God is with you. Peter got in prison because of the way he was living. Not in a negative sense, but in a really incredible sense. Peter got in prison because of the way he was living, because of his lifestyle. Here's my final thought, and here's our final question. What does our lifestyle look like? What is our looks like? What does mine look like? I have a lot of changes to make. I'm telling you this. I have a lot of changes to make. And I'm going to try my best to give them to God. But I tell you what, I'm at least going to do this. I'm going to recognize that I need God to transform me. Because that's half the battle. Recognizing that we need God to change us. That we need God to come and do something in my life. And then when I make it to this point, I'm going to recognize again, God's got more to do in me. Because God wants me to become this incredible man of God, and I feel like I'm so far from it. And you know what he says about you? I've got plans for you to become an incredible woman of God, an incredible person of God, an incredible man of God. And there's going to have to be a few changes, unfortunately. Maybe you've guessed that already. Maybe that's the reason why you don't want to go for God, because you don't want the changes. Here's the truth about life. Life is going to change anyway. I'd rather do it with a loving God than be twisted and turned by somebody else. That's the truth. That's the heart of the whole message. Life is going to change you anyway. Jobs are going to change you. Workmates are going to change you. Colleagues are going to change you. Pain is going to change you. Don't allow any of that to change you. Let Jesus change you. Let Jesus change you, because he knows what you need of. He's looking to keep you as a son or a daughter, knowing that all the way through your life, no matter what pain you would go through, no matter what circumstances you would go through, you would know you're a son. You see, Peter was able to sleep well that night because he knew he was a son. He didn't go into prison going, oh my goodness, the Lord's turned his back on me. Have I made a mistake? No, he went in knowing he was a son. And when you're a son, you'll sleep good. Now, I know there's times where we have rough times of sleep. I'm not against all of that. That's not saying you're a bad, bad person. I've had that. I go through that. But I want to tell you this. When you know you're a son or a daughter, then you're assured of your place in the kingdom. And so whenever you face the battles and whenever you face the storms, those storms don't rattle you. In fact, you shake the devil. You shake the enemy because he just can't figure it out. He's like, what? These guys, what? I put him in prison. He's on death row. He's going to die tomorrow, and he's sleeping like a baby. This is ridiculous. And then the angel comes, and he's sleeping so good, he doesn't even want to wake up. This is just crazy. And at the end of it says, when he came to his senses, he's like, whoa, that must have been an angel. It's not even a big deal to him, because an angel isn't a big deal when you know Jesus. I've walked with Jesus on water. I've been with Jesus. Jesus is my everything. And so, church, this morning I want to encourage you. God has intended you'll never be the same again. Not just at salvation, but every single day. Never the same again. I don't want to be the same as yesterday. I want to keep growing. I don't want to be the same as yesterday. I want to keep changing. God, will you continue to mold me? Our part is this. God, I will present my body. I will say yes to certain things. I will say no to other things. I will allow the power of God to work through my life. When the Lord convicts me of things, I will try to aim for those changes. When the Lord encourages me, I will try to receive them. And you know what I want to do as well this next 21 days? I want to encourage you, get into the Word like never before. Read. Allow that to just stick on your bones and watch how it transforms your mind, because the Word tells us that it's the Word is going to transform us. If we need our minds renewed, then I need to read the love letter of Jesus. I need to read the love letter of God, and it will transform my life.